Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It seems like one of the hallmarks of every Christmas season, we get so caught up in our wants and our needs and in the wants and the needs of others that contentment, which can be hard to find at any time of the year, can be especially hard to find at this time of the year, which is sad because this is the time of the year when we celebrate Jesus' birth, his arrival into our lives. Contentment can be hard to find, but this is what the Apostle Paul wrote about contentment. In his letter to the Philippians, he said, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." He followed those verses up by giving that secret of contentment. He said, "I can do all of these things through Jesus who strengthens me." Contentment, that secret of contentment that Paul found, it wasn't found in something, it was found in someone, namely in Jesus. Because no matter what time of the year it is, we tend to fill our lives with this quest for our wants and needs and for the wants and needs of others. And it was into this chaos of wants and needs that Jesus was born a little over 2,000 years ago. The Savior of the world was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was laid to rest in a manger. And the people who heard about it first, the people to whom God announced that amazing, miraculous birth, it wasn't to the kings and the princes of this world. It wasn't to the wealthy and the powerful. It was to a group of shepherds. God was making it very clear that this good news, it wasn't just for those who could afford it. It was for everyone. And especially for those lost and alone, those who felt the sting of their sin most clearly. Now, it should kind of go without saying that Jesus was not the Messiah that people wanted or expected. But he was exactly the Messiah that they needed. He is still today exactly the Messiah that we need as well. Growing up, Christmas was always a battle for me between wants and needs. It was a battle of wants and needs because every Christmas morning in my house, we had strict rules not to wake our parents up early. We could go down and open up our stockings on our own, and we were allowed to get the presents and kind of sort them into piles by, you know, the child and who they went to. And the one thing I could always be guaranteed is that in this pile of presents that had the name James written on them, there would be a combination of things that would fall under that want category and things that would fall under that need category. And oftentimes my parents and I had two very different ideas about what fell in what category. For me as a little boy growing up, and probably a lot longer than it should have been, my greatest want that I considered a need was Legos. Legos was firmly in that need category for me. My parents, they saw it as something that was a want. And just as difficult for me to understand was that every Christmas without fail, my mom thought that the thing I needed most were socks and underwear. And so every Christmas without fail, my mom would cheerfully wrap up, you know, these presents. I always affectionately referred to them in my mind only as landmine gifts. You know, they were gifts. They were masquerading as gifts. They looked like something that I would want or need, but I'd open them up on Christmas morning and take off a pair of underwear or some socks and think, this isn't something I want or need. What I've learned now that I've got young kids of my own is that children aren't always the greatest at being able to decipher what a want is and a need is. And if we're honest with ourselves, even as adults, we sometimes struggle with this. It was a couple years ago, Mackenzie had just turned 4, I think. She was in preschool, and we were out driving around. I don't remember where we were going, but we were driving by these beautiful-looking houses, and Jamie and I were just kind of talking between the two of us in the front seat, and we passed by this really awesome-looking house, and I said to Jamie, I said, "We need that house." And Mackenzie was listening from the back seat, and she piped up. She said, "Daddy, you don't need that house. You want that house." She was right. There's nothing like being put in your place by a 4-year-old, let me tell you. But she had it right. It wasn't something I needed in that moment. It was something I wanted. And like children at Christmas, we ask God for a multitude of different things. And one of our biggest frustrations in prayer are when those things that we're praying for, those things that we want, or those things that we need, or we believe we need, when those things aren't being given to us, or they aren't being given to us in the way or in the time that we expect. And James, the brother of Jesus, addressed this problem that we experience sometimes in prayer. He addressed it in his letter, and he said, the reason you ask and you don't receive is because you're asking with the wrong motives. So you can spend what you get on your own passions. Sometimes the problem with our requests is that we're confusing wants and needs. Or we're wanting things or needing things that we believe will be good for us, but that, in fact, aren't good for us, and God knows it. The best example I've seen of that play out in the movies is from this movie, Bruce Almighty. It came out in 2003. Hopefully you've seen it. If not, it's really funny. It's great comedy. Bruce Almighty in 2003, it was starring Jim Carrey, who played a TV newsman, and Morgan Freeman, who played the character of God. And with a voice like Morgan's, who can blame you for casting him in that role? But in this movie, Bruce, who's this TV newsman, his life begins to fall apart. He loses his girlfriend. He loses his job. Nothing is going right for him. He's hit probably the lowest point he's ever experienced. And in that moment, he calls God out. And he yells at God. He tells him that he could do a better job with his life and with the world than God himself could do. And God comes down as Morgan Freeman and accepts his challenge. He hands over all of his godly powers. And you can imagine Bruce revels in this at first. You know, he's excited. He can do all of these crazy, miraculous things. He splits a bowl of soup, parts it like Moses. He walks on water. But as the movie continues, he begins hearing these voices in his head. They're the whispered prayers of the people around him. And at first he ignores them, but they keep piling up. And so then he tries to answer them sincerely, but they keep coming one after another after another. And he becomes so overwhelmed with them at one point that he decides to just answer yes to every single prayer that comes his way. Everyone praying in that city gets what they want in the way they want it, in the moment that they want it. And you think, you can imagine kind of what is going to happen. I mean, we think maybe, well, if everybody gets exactly what they want, then maybe they would be content. But that's not what happens. In the movie, chaos breaks out. There's riots and looting in the street. And in one scene, everybody who's ever prayed that they would win the lottery, they win the lottery, but because so many people have won, their winnings are just pennies on the dollar. And as the chaos is unfolding, God as Morgan Freeman comes down and he confronts Bruce. And Bruce, in his defense, says, well, there were just so many prayers. I just decided to give everybody what they wanted. That way, everybody would be happy. And God responded, son, since when does anybody have any clue about what they want? As an adult now, looking back on the things I've wanted over time, or the things that I believe that I've needed over time, the things that I've gotten and the things that I haven't gotten, I've been able to look back and realize that some of the things I really firmly believed I needed, it wouldn't have been the best for me. And some of the things that I've wanted, that I've received, that I thought would give me a measure of contentment and happiness, turned up just to be empty promises. They didn't give me the happiness or the contentment I thought they would. So because sometimes we have a little bit of trouble distinguishing wants from needs, what I thought we would do is this exercise this evening where we just kind of list some very common wants and needs that we have as people. So we'll start with the fun one first, the wants. Feel free to raise your hand. What is one thing, a common want that we have sometimes as people? Yeah. What'd you say? More pets. Okay. I've been trying to convince my wife to get us another dog. That's good. Yeah. Video games, all right? In the back, yeah. Yeah, red dress. Okay, toys? What else? Adults, you're being really shy. Let's hear some adult wants. Yeah. Peace. Yes, Sarah. Craft items, okay. All right, that's good. Let's switch to the other category. What would you put down for the needs that we have as people? What is something that we need? Yeah, food, okay? We need food. What else? Clothes? Yeah. We need sleep, yes. Shelter. Okay, we got one more, yeah.
Water.
We need water, exactly. All right, so looking at the things we've got down on our list, we've got more pets and video games and toys and peace and craft items in our want category. You could classify most of the wants that we have on a day-to-day basis. You could say an easy definition for that would be things that we have a strong desire for, but we could really live without. You know, peace being the one not on there, probably. In the need category, we got things like food and clothes and sleep and shelter, water. And so an easy definition for the need things would be the things that we need for our life, the things that are essential that we can't live without or we can't live without for very long. And when you look at the list of things that we all have in common, to each of us as needs in our lives, you can kind of see a hierarchy of needs. Some needs are more pressing than others. Some needs we can live longer without than others. And so depending on where you live and what the weather's like, you can live for a while without shelter. Because of our physical limitations, we can only live maybe a few weeks without food, maybe a few days without water. If you neglect these physical needs, there would be consequences. But our greatest need isn't a physical need. Our greatest need is a spiritual need. It's a need to be made right with God. Because we're all born into this world lost and separated from God because of our sin. And until that spiritual need is met, none of the others, these physical needs that we've got, no matter how pressing they are, really matter a whole lot. Because if you neglect your physical needs, that'll carry consequences that last years for you. But if you neglect this greater spiritual need, have a consequence that is eternal. Now, doing this exercise, kind of determining what is a want and what is a need, is relatively easy in this kind of a setting where we're sitting down and there's no real pressing thing on our minds. But it's much more difficult kind of in a spur of the moment, because I know my tendency is to think that the thing that I need or the thing that I want in any given moment is also something that I need. And it's no different. If you were to hop in a time machine and travel back 2,000 years to Bethlehem on that night that Jesus was born, and you took one of these clipboards with you, and you went door to door in that crowded city of Bethlehem, and you asked people, what is it you want in a Messiah? They would give you a whole bunch of different answers. But they would all kind of run this way. They would say, well, we want a Messiah who's going to be a strong and powerful king. We want a Messiah who's going to rally the troops like the kings of old did. We want a Messiah that's going to overthrow the Romans. And if you were to ask them, they would tell you that these things they want are in fact things that they believe they needed in their Messiah. But what they really needed was Jesus. They didn't really need all of these other things they were looking for. They didn't need the restoration of the physical nation of Israel that they remembered from of old. They didn't need a physical king who would rally the troops. They didn't need freedom from the Romans. What they needed more than anything else was freedom from their sin. And that is exactly what God gave them in Jesus. He wasn't the Messiah they wanted or expected, but he was the Messiah that they needed. And the same is true for us today. We come to Jesus, and we come to him with a lot of different wants and requests. We want financial peace. We want not to have to worry about retirement or about saving for our kids' college. We want not to have to worry about the loans that we've got and the debts that we have. We want not to have to worry about our safety here as we go about our lives. We have these and so many other wants. But our greatest need is found in Jesus. And this is why he came and he told his disciples not to worry. And when he told them not to worry, he said, don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Instead, seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. And when Jesus told his disciples not to worry, and when he says the same to you and I this afternoon, when he said don't worry, he picked the most pressing physical needs that we all share. You know, our clothes, our food, and our water. These three things that we need, probably you could argue, more than anything else. And he said, these three things, don't worry about them. Let God handle those. But seek first God's kingdom. Worry about that greatest need that you have. Salvation in him. And that is exactly what happened on that Christmas day. On that night that Jesus was born, God gave us exactly the Messiah we needed. He gave us Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. So this evening or tomorrow, whenever you gather as a family and you get ready to open up your gifts full of wants and needs, just take a moment, pray as a family, and thank God for this greatest gift that he has given you in his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God that, like all good parents, he's much more concerned about the thing that we need most than all of those things that we want. And then take a moment to thank God for all of the other things that he gives you, all of the other blessings that Andrew had spoken about just a few moments ago with the kids, all of those things that fill our wants and our needs list, because God gives us so much more than just the thing that we need. I know this Christmas, I'm thankful to be a part of this family of God here at Chapel of the Cross. Merry Christmas and God's blessings.